Okay, so this evening we want to consider thought of perspective versus reality. And the thing is, we want to understand, going through that mental health first aid course, it was really somewhere the big thing that I got out of it is, if you want to have good mental health, you don't want to do any kind of drugs. Because it's not like there are some that are maybe worse for you than others, but none of them are good. And so it's really understanding that. But it's something where anytime we use a substance, we get it into our body in order to change a mood or do something, it does start to affect us. It affects us physically, it affects us emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And the thing is the more that we use and abuse various substances, the more our thinking can get clouded. And it can even come to the point that induces what's called psychosis. Okay, and what psychosis is where we start to lose touch with reality. And so that's kind of the thing. Like, we could think of it in terms of, say, if someone was to take a hallucinogenic drug and have this kind of drug trip and just this great experience, right? And they might try something else. They might do mushrooms the next time to try to get this experience. But the thing is, that does damage to you. And what happens is eventually you start having those hallucinations even when you're not on the drug. That it doesn't just kind of, you can't just turn it on and off. It keeps going. So there's different things that happen, but there can be alcohol induced psychosis, there can be cannabis induced psychosis, where like a person really starts to lose touch with what reality actually is. And we want to understand that the more we get into these different things, we start to believe things that aren't actually true. And so it's kind of the thing, if if we want to try to get out of an addiction, we have to realize that the perspective we may have may not necessarily correspond with reality. That we can assume certain things, but then as we actually take stock, we find, wait a minute, that's not actually true. And we have to challenge that and not just assume, oh yeah, I've got things figured out. Because it's kind of the thing, it's our wrong thinking that really got us in the addiction in the first place. And it's our wrong thinking that's going to keep us in that addiction too. And so there are falsehoods we believe that have led us into the bondage of an addiction. And there are falsehoods as well that keep us in that bondage of addiction. Right? And so we need to realize that to be true, but then also understand and the principle that's just really the foundation of the RU program is it is the truth that will make us free. All right, so we're going to look at some different things where this is a perspective that we can have if we're struggling with an addiction, and we have to say, wait a minute, this is my perspective, but it is not what is reality. So first off, we might say, and this is a lot of times, as a person gets started, whether it's smoking or drinking or getting into drugs, is the thought, oh, well, trying it once isn't going to hurt. That it's just like, it's curious, it's like, might as well have this experience. And you think, oh, yeah, it's not going to be a big deal. But the reality is that many individuals overdose on their first try with certain drugs. Yes?
Mrs. Cowell just called us last week, and the lady in their church, her daughter, went to a party and tried a drug for the first time, her stomach blew up, and she died. And
wow.
Three little kids.
Wow. No, and that's the thing, that's what happens. Like, I know, like Brother Currington talks about this one guy that, I forget his name, but he was actually drafted for the NBA. He was like a superstar, but he went to a party and he tried a drug for the first time and he overdosed and died. and he had his whole future ahead of him, but he just thought, well, I'm going to go to this party, have some fun, and his life was over. And the thing is, it's like, we got to understand is, with any kind of drug, it can be dangerous, right? And that's why you have a doctor give a prescription of a certain dosage, because they're very careful about that, because if they gave the wrong dosage, they could be sued for malpractice, right? But if you have an illicit drug that a drug dealer is selling you, is there this whole kind of thing in place of malpractice against the drug dealer? No, there's not. And the thing is, like, especially I remember one officer in town just discussing about fentanyl, that the guys start mixing it up, and they're not caring at all about what the concentration is. And you might have, like the way he described it, you might have one cookie that has just a couple chocolate chips in it that's going to be okay, but then you can have one that has like a dozen in, and that could kill you. And then there's a lot of things where people are giving you stuff and you don't know what drugs are mixed in there. And they might not even know, because the person that they got it from may not have been honest. And sometimes you have, even in town here, you've had drug dealers that have overdosed themselves because what they thought was this product ended up being something different. They had a reaction. And as well, it's a thought. A lot of drug dealers, they'll offer you something free for the first time. And they know, because of its addictive properties, that you're not, it's sort of like that Lay's potato chip slogan, bet you can't eat just one, that it's kind of the thing. That's what happens with drugs a lot of times, is we think, oh yeah, I can just do it once, and then I can let it go. And we find that's not what happens. And so that's, we think, RU principle number three, that it's easier to keep the heart clean than to clean it after it's been defiled. If you don't introduce these substances in your body, you're not going to develop a dependence on them. That they're not good for you. That really we understand that from so many different perspectives, that they're very damaging to your body, very damaging to your mind. It's best just to not have them as part of your life at all. And so it's saying curiosity killed the cat. It's just sometimes you're better off not knowing, because it's not worth finding out if your health suffers or even if you lose your life as a result. But then once we're in the addiction and we're trying to get out, but we have the craving come and we think, well, if I just give in one more time, it's not going to hurt. And that's what, it's always kind of, okay, I need to stop this, but I'll stop it tomorrow. I'll wait. I won't actually get serious with this. I'll indulge one more time, just a little bit. But the thing is, when you're trying to quit something like this, your substance has to work its way out of your system. And the sooner it does that, the sooner you'll be free of it. But if you keep indulging, then it's going to keep taking longer and longer for you to recover. That it's kind of the thing, is it's your mind develops pathways, and every time you repeat that pathway, it becomes more stronger and harder to shake. And the thing is, if you start the sooner you start developing a different pathway in your mind, a different pattern of behavior, then the sooner you'll be free of it. And so there's two RU principles that speak to this. Principle number four, where we cannot fight a fleshly appetite by indulging it. That never works. We have to starve it. We have to suppress that appetite. That eventually if we do that, it'll go away completely. Every time we say, oh, I'll give into it for a bit and it'll be okay, it goes away, but then what happens? It comes back stronger than before. And so we don't want to do that. And then as well, small compromises lead to great disasters. It's so often when a person has been doing well, but then relapses, it's because, oh, I'll just do it once. I'm feeling down. I could use a boost kind of thing. And then they end up going way further than they thought they would. as a result. As well, there's a lot of ideas of denial that might say when we're in an addiction, say, well, I'm not actually an addict. I have this under control. Or big thing is, well, I'm not an addict because I'm not like this person. Because a lot of times we have a picture of a person that's an addict where they're homeless, they're on the street, they're like skinny and eyes are bloodshot and they're just shaking and they're a danger to themselves and others. They're probably trying to steal stuff just to support their habit. And we think, well, I'm not that, so I'm not a bad addict. But the thing is, we want to understand it. That picture that we have, that is what we would call a non-functioning addict. And sure, you're not at that point, but the thing is, there's also functioning addicts, people that they can still keep a job and they can still kind of seem to keep it together, but on the weekend they indulge, they binge, and basically they're able to get back together so they can get to work on Monday, but their whole weekend is basically blacked out from indulging in their addiction. And the thing is we want to understand, yes, sure, you may not be a non-functioning addict, but you're still an addict. You're what's called a functioning addict. And the thing is that eventually a functioning addict becomes a non-functioning addict. And it's the thing, it's rather than continuing to go down that path, it's like, okay, let me admit I do struggle with this, let me deal with this addiction before I become non-functioning. And that's kind of the thing, we sometimes think, well, I don't need to deal with this because it's not as bad as this person, or it's not to this level. And it's like, well, how low do you have to go before you say, okay, I need to stop going down this path? When we see where it leads, we should say, okay, I don't want to go there, and so I'm not going to see how close I can get to there and then bring myself back. But that just doesn't make any sense, right? It's like, if that's what's out there, if I keep going on this path, I need to change direction completely. And so we need to understand that. And I'm saying, pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall. And so often that's what is a big danger when we're dealing with an addiction, where we try to say, I have it under control. I can lick this on my own. And when we try to do it in our own strength, we fail. And it's when we are willing to admit, I am an addict, I need help. That's the first step to victory over your addiction. Another thing that we think, oh, well, I just kind of keep it to myself. I can kind of hide this, and my addiction doesn't hurt anybody else. And we want to realize that's not true at all. That the more your addiction takes hold of your life, it's going to affect everyone around you one way or the other. And the people that are closest to you are going to be the most affected. That it may not seem that way to you, but it's a thing, especially, say, with your kids. They're getting scared. You're not acting the way that you should. Your spouse is getting worried about you. People that know you are concerned. And some are getting upset with you more and more. Others are withdrawing from you because they don't know how to help you. And it's affecting you. Affecting others. And so, as we see, principle number 7, our sinful habits do hurt those who follow us. And we always have to realize that. Anybody that looks to us, we have a bad habit, we don't live in isolation. It affects others. And that's the sad thing, is that sometimes a person will have a habit and think, oh, it's not so bad, I can control it. But then sometimes their children, they end up taking up that habit, and it totally overwhelms them. That there's not an ability to control it. And it's sort of really what's happened is you've become a stumbling block to someone else. You said, oh, this is okay, and they grab hold of it, and it destroys them. And so we want to realize that we need to, if it's a bad habit, we need to stop it before it hurts anyone else. But then his thought, too, with someone that's dealing with addiction, and we see this a lot, that if someone, say if as an addict you have a need for money, that, and of course the money is to get you by the drugs so you can get a hit so that then kind of life can settle down again. And so you're asking different people around you, and just, can you help me out? Can you give me some money? And the person might, well, I gave you some last month, and I don't know if I should keep giving it to you. Or some just say, okay, this is enough. I'm not giving you any more money. I'm cutting you off. And when we're in that state where really the drugs are controlling our thinking, we get upset and we think, well, this person doesn't actually love me because they're not willing to help me and give me what I want, so I should push them out of my life and I should find new friends that will give me what I want. And so what happens is, with someone that is an addict, they're always, a lot of their relationships end up getting broken because they're pursuing after someone that's going to give them the help that they want. But it may not be the help that they need. And that's, the reality is that people that really care about you are trying to help you to stop. They see you destroying yourself, and they don't want to allow you to do that. They don't want to continue to enable you in your addiction. That they're trying to give you some tough love, and it's because they love you. And people like that, they're not someone to push out of your life. They might be the only true friend you have. If they're willing to give it to you straight, if they're willing to say no to you because what you're asking is not what's best for you. And so you don't push those people away. You need to get more of those people in your life. They're trying to help you. And they may not know how to do it, and they may not necessarily say it in the nicest way, but they are trying to help you. And those are people you need to grab hold of because they can help bring you out of your addiction. And there's a verse in Proverbs 27, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's the thing, that sometimes a friend will, that really loves you, will tear a strip off you, and just it kind of sets you back a bit, but then you realize, boy, I needed to hear that. Where you could have someone that flatters you and tries to act like you're someone, but you actually find later they're just using you and they're not really a true friend at all. And so we need to realize that there's a perspective. This is what I think. Oh yeah, this person is my friend. They're just going to give me all this stuff. This person isn't willing to do that. They're not my friend. And it's the opposite a lot of times. It's true. The one that says no when it's something that's going to hurt us is the friend that we need. But with all of that, I want to bring us to this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is the perspective that many people have when it comes to hearing what we refer to as the gospel, hearing about Jesus and the cross and the blood of Christ and all these other things, that a person hears that and just immediately does not take it in, does not accept it, and actually laughs at it and thinks this is nonsense. But we see in the passage that this is something that Paul, as inspired by God, points out. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's the perspective. But then the reality is, on us which are saved, it is the power of God. And it talks about further on that the Jews, they sought for a sign, the Greeks sought after wisdom. But then Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, which unto the Jews is a stumbling block, that they wouldn't accept it, it offended them. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And it talks about of how there's a foolishness, many times a foolishness, foolish things in this world confound the things that are wise. And it's just the way that it works. Is sometimes what we think is no good is actually overcomes what we thought was a lot stronger. And it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so wisdom is understanding of how to get ourselves out of the mess that we got ourselves in. Righteousness is how we can do right and keep doing right. Sanctification is where we can have that inner transformation, where we're changed from the inside out. Redemption is where our lives are made new, and that our lives that were towards a path of hurting others is instead transformed to a life of helping others. And so the perspective that our initial perspective that we have is that talk about Jesus and Christianity is foolishness, I find it offensive, and it's not going to help me. And that's the thing, a person would say, well, I just want to get freedom from my addiction. Why are you trying to push religion on me or anything like that? But the reality is that in Jesus you can discover God's power and wisdom to get freedom from your addiction. And all that you have ever sought in life, you'll find in him. And this is a truth that each of us has to come to grips with at some point in our life. And it's better that we come to grips to it sooner rather than later. And this is the sad thing, is that many people will pass an attorney and they'll discover is everything that I sought for in life, everything that I needed, I could have found in that which I rejected, that which I laughed at, that which I thought, oh, this isn't going to help me, this is just a bunch of nonsense. And that's really the sad thing, that so many will discover that too late. And so that's the thought, is that we want to realize, wait a minute, my perspective has been clouded by many other things. There's a lot of lies and falsehoods I've grabbed hold of and been led astray by. And we need to understand that it's that in Jesus we can find freedom. And that is a thought. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And we think of that in terms of truth versus falsehood in that way. But as well, we think of the truth as being Lord Jesus Christ, that he shall make us free. And so we want to realize that. We want to check our, evaluate our assumptions and not assume, oh yeah, I've got this all figured out, because a lot of times we're not thinking clearly and we need to reevaluate. We need to give things a second look. And especially when it comes to the gospel, even though our initial response might be, I don't want anything to do with this, look at it again and see that this might be exactly what you're looking for. All right.